So the first thing that we've done is we've taken a complete shift as far as what our competitors are doing in the ownership of the insights. So typically, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we're a B2B2B model. Mm. So the ownership of the report or the insights that are generated are often with either the coach or consultant or the company that paid for it. But we take the approach that the DNA insights that somebody has or the behavioral insights that they have, that measures them and that's their property. So an individual, if you have insights inside of our platform, at any time you can tell us that you don't want them shared with another company, and you can even check the box, or uncheck the box rather, inside of your account and remove that access from another firm.
Welcome to the AI Marketing Navigator, where we simplify AI marketing to keep you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by Digital Pop, delivering AI marketing automation so your small business thrives. Here's your host, Alex Carlson.
Let's kind of look at the other side of the coin now, where maybe this level of personalization that we're talking about is not appropriate, or maybe it's even, it goes too far when it comes to people who are concerned about privacy and data security. Can you talk about where we shouldn't be using this level of personalization, or kind of what does that conversation look like?
Yeah, we often get into this space when we're talking to clients, particularly in the HR realm. So if there's a very clear instruction that you need to give your staff, let's say if there's a fire drill that's going to be happening in the office, that if it's personalized can lead to a lot of confusion and mistrust and inconsistency. So we typically apply this one rule of don't apply personalization where a telephone game can occur. Mm. So if you have a large amount of people that are all in one office and you're trying to get a very clear message to everybody, if it's personalized, people are going to interpret that in a different way. So it works better whenever you're doing one-on-one interactions, more in a sales or marketing capacity, versus doing it to a whole office that where everybody is around together and can share insights on what they heard and how they interpreted it.
Sure.
The other aspect around this, as far as safety and transparency and privacy, is that you really, anytime that you're applying AI, you should apply, some level of ethical standards. I think Microsoft has done the best approach with this as far as very clearly outlining a methodology that a firm should go through when they're releasing a new AI or technology piece to their ecosystem. And that's just making sure that everything is fair, reliable, and safe, that there's an element of privacy and security in place. It's inclusive, it's transparent, and then your company is accountable for adhering these standards. So I think that that's something that's really important that Microsoft has put forth. They did this more recently in the AI adoption phase, and I think that that's been very helpful for our team as we're releasing new tech into the wild and making sure that we're being ethical and conveying that also to our customers when they're using these tools.
I love that. And it's super great insight because, to be honest, Microsoft is, I think, definitely driven more towards the enterprise side of adoption right now and organizations and things like that. So we touch on it less than we probably should. So I'm intrigued and glad to hear you say that they're kind of leading the way, I think, when it comes to transparency and organizational adoption, and definitely worthy of some more attention there. Listeners out there who are in an enterprise marketing department and transparency and security is likely a concern of your leadership who are maybe struggling with AI adoption. Take a look at Microsoft because we probably don't talk about it as much as we should. So thank you, Ryan, for that one. How have you guys balanced you speak about, transparency and Microsoft's methodology for communicating the need for it internally at DNA Behavior, or even I should say externally in your marketing? How have you guys structured your messaging around transparency of the digital scan platform, for instance?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the first thing that we've done is we've taken a complete shift as far as what our competitors are doing in the ownership of the insights. So typically, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we're a B2B2B model. Mm. So the ownership of the report or the insights that are generated are often with either the coach or consultant or the company that paid for it. But we take the approach that the DNA insights that somebody has or the behavioral insights that they have, that measures them and that's their property. So an individual, if you have insights inside of our platform, at any time you can tell us that, you know, you don't want them shared with another company, and you can even check the box, you know, or uncheck the box rather inside of your account and remove that access from another firm. So we give complete control to the person that has been scanned in our platform, whether it's digital scan or the full scan. And so that's our approach for it, is just giving complete control of it. And so that we're being more so, so that we're able to give people complete control over what we do with the data and where it sits.
Sure. Sure. Makes total sense. And we talk so much about the need for transparency, and especially in marketing and things like that, when it comes to the use of AI. Let's dive into a little bit of the future of AI and behavioral science. So DNA Behavior has recently launched Gene AI, and this is an AI chatbot specifically for these behavioral insights. So how does this fit into your overall AI strategy, and what is it kind of adding to the platform and the experience, and what has the early response been?
Yeah, so our technology, we tried to build it as flexible as possible from the web app perspective. So if you're a business user and you're using our application, you can do all kinds of filtering or sorting. You can search for people. And as you're doing that, there's specific interactions that are happening behind the scenes with our database and our API. We've actually exposed some of the cooler features that you can do with the data that you've gathered. We've exposed that to Gene AI, and you can use this tool in order to speed up a lot of work. So to give you one example, we built a very specific prompt. Let's say that you're hiring for a new civil engineer on your team. In our platform, we have the insights that would help you determine who would be a good benchmark against a rock star civil engineer. And then we've exposed that API call that allows you to make that request on the data. We've exposed that to Gene AI. So you can actually just prompt Gene AI to just give you the candidates that have applied for a specific job and list them based on the benchmark. And it would immediately do that. And then let's say that you shortlist 5 out of the 100 people that applied. Then you need to generate behavioral interview questions for those 5. In the past, you'd have to look through a manual or a book and generate behavioral interview questions for the candidates. Our system or AI will just do it automatically for you based on their strengths. So if you have somebody that's very creative, there's pros and cons with people that are creative. You know, they come up with great ideas, but they also like to do things in a new way every single time. So a behavioral interview question could be crafted for that person so that you can see how that they would approach both their strengths and struggles. And this would be a very, very complicated certification program that someone would have to go through in order to be highly skilled at this. So that's why we really trained the Gene AI tool to do it as a speed time, and also, you know, give a pretty interesting high level approach to the interview process, but give it to the masses.
So Gene AI is kind of like the natural language interface with all of the insights that DNA behavior can kind of provide. I love that. Are continuing down that line, are there any innovations or projects? And if you can't give us any insight, totally understand. Are there any things that you're working on at DNA Behavior right now that you're really excited about? What's kind of the next feature? Maybe it's something with Gene AI or maybe not that you can kind of give us a look at.
Yeah, so we're looking at features to make it easier for people to move to DNA Behavior from one of our competitors.
Right.
So that's what we're focusing on right now. We're building a lot of really cool features at the moment that will enable that. So one example of that would be we have a big campaign right now for DISC coaches to come across to our platform. Our pricing is a lot more competitive than DISC. They get a lot more insights, and then we're even giving them a 50% discount off of the first year fees.
Amazing.
So it makes a lot of sense for a coach to look at us versus DISC. But one of the switching costs for them is that they're looking at slightly different insight descriptions than what they're used to. So we're building a new AI tool so that whenever they're looking at our insights, it will actually translate them into a language that they're familiar with. So that's one thing that we're building. The other is building a lot of AI preparation notes for coaches and consultants. So if they're looking at a particular person, there's a lot of insights that are just kind of typical behaviors, or they act pretty similar to anybody that you would meet on the street. So you don't really need to focus so much on them. You have to focus on the very strong behaviors of somebody or the outliers. Mm-hmm. And we're building a new AI that will pick up those specific outlying behaviors and then give little speaking notes to a coach or consultant so that they can really speed up the facilitation so they can do more of the work that they love and not have to do so much reading on a small screen in our system.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. If there's anybody who's involved in DISC out there who catches this, absolutely give DNA behavior a look, because that's a ton of value there. Let's expand it outside of just DNA behavior now into the next 3 to 5 years of behavioral intelligence. As this AI tech continues to advance, where do you see the field going? Do we hit a wall of where the privacy, there's a diminishing returns as far as what we're able to pull out of behavioral intelligence? Or what does it look like in 5 years, the field of behavioral intelligence with AI?
Yeah, I'm not seeing too much more expansion on the actual insights. There's already so many that we're mm-hmm. capturing, and an individual can only receive,
right?
You know, they're only able to receive a certain number and understand them. But what we're seeing is that there's more and more technology popping up around bringing the insights of an executive coach to the masses. And we're dabbling in this as well and trying to build some R&D around this. So AI coaching. So imagine if there's an executive coach that the C-suite may have at a Fortune 500 company, that's, you know, several hundred dollars an hour that only maybe a handful of people can take advantage of in the company. But what if you could build a real-time AI coach for the masses? So people downline, maybe middle managers or even people that are on the manufacturing floor could talk in a secure manner to some sort of video AI coach. I think mm-hmm. that is something that's on the horizon, and that's going to make a huge shift in our industry.
Absolutely.
And then we're seeing a lot of big data projects as well, just being able to do more with the number crunching and seeing things on an organizational level.
Yeah, I think bringing scale to this level of, to this area of expertise and skill, an area that's just so valuable to enterprise organizations, I think has some huge, huge potential. Okay, as we kind of wrap up here, I have one question that I always like to ask for our listeners. If you could have our listeners take one thing away from our conversation today about AI-powered behavioral intelligence, personalization, what would you want that to be? If you could leave one message, a sticky thought in their heads today.
Yeah, so if you were to be matched with anybody in the world, let's just say that you just randomly were going to talk to one other person, there's about a 60% likelihood that you two will be a mismatch. So, and this doesn't necessarily need AI or tech, but if you can adapt your own personal style to work with someone a little bit better, the world is going to be a better place. And you don't need to have our insights to do that, but we can surely help. So that's kind of the main message that we'd like to preach is, you know, all this is about making things easier for other people and allowing them to hear the information in the way that they like to receive it. And AI is helping that more and more every day. So if everybody can do their part and make it so that people don't have to work so hard when they're talking to other people, we'll all be a lot better.
I love that. I love that. Okay. So Ryan, thank you so much for sharing your insights, so much value here on AI personalization, behavioral intelligence, a field that I am just fascinated by and am learning so much more about with each day. The journey that you shared of DNA behavior from that traditional personality to now a cutting edge AI application, I think so many valuable lessons in there, and it mimics and mirrors the journey of so many businesses right now as they adopt AI. If our listeners want to learn anything more about your work, about DNA behavior, of course, they can visit the website. But where else can they find you? What's the easiest way to get in touch?
Yeah. So if you go to dnabehavior.com/start, we have a whole page of, you know, people that found us on podcasts or at events, and you can just learn from there. So there's a bunch of videos and links to do trials, and you can kind of navigate on your own. So that would be the best place to start.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much again, Ryan. Really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks, Alex. Right.
Thanks for listening to the AI Marketing Navigator. Ready to simplify your own marketing automation? DigitalPop helps make it happen so your small business can scale your marketing fast. Learn more at thedigitalpop.com.